Epilogue. Kayla sat on a temporary stage erected in front of the gleaming new building. A huge crowd sat or stood in the plaza below. She was the next speaker at the dedication of the new George J. Weigert Research Center. She hadn't wanted to speak at all, not in this company.
"Mom, the President of the United States is going to hollow in with remarks. The President!"
"Julian, once you," her mother said. Since the stroke, Ellen's speech was halting and her movements sometimes uncontrolled. But the spirit looking out from her old eyes was as serene as before her body had begun to break down. So Kayla had agreed to speak for her mother. First had come a performance by a high school band, one of Julian's PR moves. Then, President Amy Turner Hastings had hollowed in with congratulations, looking as solid as if she were actually present. Next had come speeches by the Premier of the Cayman Islands and other important people, some of them long-winded. Now Julian, still vigorous and handsome, was speaking about the changes that would come to society as more of humanity experienced the power of consciousness to create, to share, to merge. There would come a greater empathy, a stronger identification with the planet that nourished our bodies, and inner peace. Behind Julian, his words flashed in midair, glowing holograms. Just last night, Kayla had visited with Aunt Caro, happy and alive with Trevor Abruzzo. She'd described to her aunt the new self-controlled algorithms devised by Julian's software team. "What new algorithms?" Aunt Caro had asked. "Did you get them?"
"My chip includes the Lorraine."
"The what?" "That's what Ivan Kyvan calls it, the chief software engineer. He gives all the algorithmic variations these whimsical names. Lorraine, after Mom's friend who died 10 years ago in that plane crash. You remember, Julian's sister?"
"I remember," Aunt Caro had said, and Kayla had not been able to read her aunt's expression.
Kayla searched for a more comfortable position in her chair. Her mind wandered. A warm, salty breeze blew from the sea, ruffling her hair. Overhead, gulls wheeled and cried. Her attention suddenly focused. A gray and white seagull flew low, probably because it carried in its beak a big starfish. The starfish, orange and yellow, wriggled its arms. More seagulls pursued, screaming in envy and indignation. Kayla couldn't resist. She bent her head to hide her face before it went blank, then activated different algorithms for how her brain processed information, including the Lorraine, the wooden stage, the stone building, Julian and his listeners, all dissolved into a quantum blur. Kayla's consciousness and the seagull's consciousness were, of course, manifestations of the same thing, of the oneness of the universe. Then, Kayla was the gull. The gull was she. Both were the starfish, squirming in Kayla's beak, and the warm ocean air rushing under the beat of her wings. Below her, the world spread out in sharp, wide-angled focus, every blade of dune grass separate and distinct, every flash of fish shoals beneath the water undulating in ultraviolet. The faint lines of electromagnetism banded across her senses, pathways in the sky. She sensed minute changes in air pressure. A storm at sea was a few days out from the coast. Everything was motion, including the wriggling prey in her beak. And Kayla was predator and prey both. The deceptive distance between their beings erased. It was glorious. She returned, and just in time. Finally, Julian was introducing her.
"Whose aunt?"
"Dr. Caroline Soames Watkins, the great niece of my co-founder, Samuel Watkins, was one of our first, most eminent surgeons, and my dear friend. Please join with me in welcoming Kayla Kemp." Kayla spoke about Aunt Caro and how the new technology had put truths into the consciousness of so many people. Truth about how reality works. Truth about death. Truth about the oneness of the universe created by consciousness. There had been no ethics or morality associated with the old worldview. It had set up an antagonistic outlook, Man Against Nature. She explained how this was all changing. She finished with the English translation of a Hindu poem. Know in thyself, and all one self-same soul. Banish the dream that sunders part from whole.
A little silence followed her words, then applause. Kayla inclined her head in acknowledgement. When she straightened, she raised her eyes upward, but seagull and starfish had vanished, flown off together into the warm, bright sky. We hope you have enjoyed Observer, written by Robert Lanza and Nancy Kress, read for you by Stacey Glomboski. The audio for this book was engineered by Anansi Audio. Observer is copyright 2022 by Robert Lanza and Nancy Kress. All rights reserved. Thank you for listening.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.